org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you.
Coming up in an hour, it's Headwaters with our host today. I was getting it wrong. It's Kari Hedlund.
Oh, Kari's going to be in. All right. Well, I'll be listening in, Kari, so keep it coming. We're going to continue with our student reports. As we mentioned earlier, these talkbacks are provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell. And our next report comes from Justin Steffen's class at Linwood Elementary School.
Greetings from the fourth grade phenology team in the Linwood School Forest. This is Liam,
Hayden,
and Leva,
reporting on our observations from the week ending December 5th.
This week we observed that we have snow cover that seems like it might stay all winter. It started as rain, but as the temperature dropped, it turned to ice and snow. We also observed the wind was blowing from the northwest on Wednesday, and it brought very cold air with it. It was about negative 10 degrees Fahrenheit on Thursday morning when we woke up.
With all the snow, we were able to look for animal tracks in the forest. We saw squirrel, rabbit, turkey, and we think wood rat prints.
In the forest, we followed some deer tracks through the trees. We saw where it stopped to dig in the snow, and we think it was eating something. We wonder how animals survive all winter when the snow gets deep.
That's all from the Linwood School Forest. And remember, there's no place like Linwood.
Liam, Hayden, Reva, thank you so much for that wonderful report. I'm thrilled that you were out and checking things out. You did notice, you mentioned snow cover and the fact that it was almost 10 below zero on Thursday morning. Tracks in the snow, that's what makes snow kind of interesting. You get to see who's wandering by all those evenings when you're not paying attention. Squirrel, rabbit, and turkey, and we think wood rat. I would like to see those tracks. I'm not sure I would identify them as wood rat, but without looking at them, I wouldn't have a guess. And yeah, the deer do paw away at the snow to find things to eat. But as the snow gets deeper, deer and rabbits, they eat bark and they eat twigs. It's a pretty meager diet. And in the case of the rabbits, it's really meager. But the interesting thing about rabbits is that if you come across a spot where the rabbits have been dining, you'll see that it starts at snow level and goes up. And so the deeper the snow gets, the higher the barking happens on the plants. It's pretty interesting. Thanks, Justin, and thanks, kids from Linwood Elementary. We appreciate that. Our next report comes from Dan Winkler's class at Caledonia High School in Houston County.
Hi, this is Leighton, Jason, and Braden reporting from Caledonia High School in Caledonia, Minnesota. On December 4th, 2025, we noticed the cold supermoon. We had our first negative degree day. It dropped to around negative 9. Ice covering small, shallow bodies of water. No ice yet on the main channel of the Mississippi River.
Red oaks still have the leaves. White oaks has dropped the leaves. We have noticed white pine needles shedding.
Coyotes are being more active. We are also seeing them during the day. We noticed increased bird activity the day after the snowstorm last weekend, including bigger groups of blue jays at feeders. This was our first major snowfall on November 29th. This has been Leighton, JC, and Braden, reporting from Caledonia High School.
Never stop questioning.
Indeed, never stop questioning. That is a good attitude to have. Cold supermoon, 9 below zero, all the way down to Caledonia. I had 9 below as my low. That's my lowest temperature that I have recorded at my house this winter. Red oaks, my red oak still has a few leaves. I suspect that their red oaks have a lot more leaves than mine. Mine is northern red oak. Theirs probably is too, but just a little bit further south and the leaves hang on a little longer. White oaks have dropped their leaves. White pine needles are shedding. Coyotes are active. Yeah, lots of things going on. Lots of blue jays. Thank you very much for that report from Caledonia. That's our new southern reach. That is way down there. And we're happy to have you with us. Finally, we got a great photo, which I suspect is on our Season Watch page.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just a wonderful picture by our good friend Ian Welch. And Ian lives in the Minneapolis area. I suspect the photo was maybe taken over at the Theodore Wirth Park, because it's a stunning photo of a pine tree with sundogs on either side. And yeah, happy holidays, KAXE. I think I captured a couple of sundogs this sub-zero morning. The rainbow effect is caused by ice particles just above the ground. And he's right. Those sundogs that he photographed were indeed ice particles. Take a pencil and look at it and see the six sides on it and think of ice crystals in basically that same shape. Smaller, of course, but they act as little prisms. And when the sunlight is at the proper angle, they can reflect that light into a beautiful rainbow. And Ian really captured it. So check out our Season Watch page and take a look at that gorgeous picture.
It is 8:06. Coming up, we'll have Tornado Bob. We got some more blues for John on his birthday. We heard from some more folks. Bill from Wabana says, happy birthday to John. At our age, it's always great to see those birthdays keep coming. As you know, I certainly enjoy your show and your friendship. Keep up the good work. And Susan wrote back to us from Cotton. She said, I know what a humble man you are, but I remember how we worried about nature deficit disorder in our children when I worked at the zoo in the early 2000s. I truly think you have done an incredible amount to address that. Thanks, Susan.
Yeah, thank you.
We sure appreciate that. Stay tuned. We'll learn more about what's happening weather-wise with Tornado Bob.
I know I did wrong, and I know it's a hard, hard song.
It is 8:11. That's music there from Robert Finley. I want to thank you. I'm kind of Robert Finley speaking on your behalf, I think.
Yeah.
John.
Yep. Let Robert do the talking. I get choked up.
Yeah. Coming up, we're going to talk weather. Tornado Bob's in with a hot steaming cup of coffee, and he's going to tell us about these winter weather advisory and what we can expect in the next week or so out there.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to hold him to it as well. He's going to tell us, and we're going to be like, yep, okay, promise.
And then we've got Pam Perry joining us at 8:40. We'll talk birds and Christmas bird counts coming up throughout northern Minnesota.
I'm remiss in my duty here. Let me see. I think I need to do this. We receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com. And we receive support from Northern Lights Nordic Ski Club, a member-supported nonprofit whose mission is to promote cross-country skiing as a healthy family activity with volunteers who groom and maintain area trails. Membership, info, trail maps, and more are available at northernlightsnordic.org.
It is time to talk weather. Tornado Bob joins us in the studio now. Morning, John. Or, no, sorry, excuse me.
First my new middle name's John.
Okay. That's Bob. Morning, Bob, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. Well, we had a beautiful morning right when we were listening to the song for John's birthday. The sky was this lavender color.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I missed that.
It was subtle, but it was stunning. It was just a wow. Kind of a, just a little wash that made the clouds not gray, but sort of lavender. Yeah, just a little hint. I suspect that the sun was probably just climbing up over the horizon somewhere, or the horizon was just dropping down below the sun.
Okay.
Something like that. Something happened that caused the light to change slightly. It was worth being up for.
I must have been in the shower or something.
I would imagine. You do look remarkably clean, and you smell nice, too, from 6 feet away.
Thank you.
That's as close as anybody wants to get to me, trust me. It's my birthday.
Are you going to find a lake to skate on today for your birthday?
I would like to, but today might be a tough day to do it. Yesterday was pretty good. I was on the ice boat yesterday.
Okay, good.
I skated on Sunday and Saturday. And,
awesome.
Had nice skating once I warmed up my muscles and convinced them that they could still, in fact, move me across the ice, propel me.
That's great.
It took a bit. I must say, it was, if you'd watched, it would be like watching a neophyte. I had ski poles, so I poled along for a while, just held my skates together and poled along. And then as I gained more confidence, I tried some slight moves, you know, a little push, a little push, push. And pretty soon the pushes got stronger and longer. And pretty soon I was skating. It was the freedom of skating on a lake like that when it's just, you know, wherever you look, it's just black, smooth ice. It was wonderful.
Great. Wow. Glad you had the experience this year.
You know, some years it gets stolen from me, but every moment that I can get out there is one that I'll file away and remember.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
I should find a place where I can get out and do it more often, because the after effects of skating are remarkable. It's like my legs felt like jelly for a couple of days. They're just kind of like, whoa, are you sure you want to stand up? Maybe you'd be more comfortable just sitting in the chair. Yeah, so thanks for that. And it looks like you cross-country skiers have won the day.
And if not
the day, you're going to win the week.
Yeah, this week. Yep. some two inches last night.
Yeah.
And then I'll say this is another one of those typical, like, anytime there's a big snow, the forecast is always exactly 100% identically the same. Yeah. If you're in the Twin Cities, you're just like, well, which precipitation type is it going to be? And then if you're going to Grand Rapids, I was like, oh, we're on the northern edge. Are we going to get snow or not? And so this somewhere is always the forecast. So
somewhere you know, in between, yeah, they're going to get hammered.
But somehow, like if you're halfway between, it doesn't seem to be that snowing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so again, the script is playing out today. If you're in the Twin Cities, you're thinking, well, you know, how much snow are we going to get? What's the transition of the, you know, of the precipitation types? How is that going to affect the snowfall amounts? There will be precipitation down there. It's definite. But there'll be some time periods of freezing rain, some sleet, and then a change over to snow. Or start as snow, get a period of freezing rain and sleet mixed in, and then it'll probably not get above freezing down there, but it'll be close. So you go south of the cities, and there can be some rain down that far south.
Yeah, well,
for us, all the models have been showing, you know, this is typically what happens is you see early on, say a few days out, it looks like, yeah, maybe we'll be right in the band of the heaviest snow. But then you see one or two of the models might show something to our south. And then you think, oh, yeah, and then they start showing more of the band who are, we're kind of in the thick of it. And then, you know, kind of later, in the, you know, right before it hits, you see this shift in the forecast to the south. So this is exactly like the same thing. So you know in advance if there's a big storm in the future what the scenario is going to be. So
and it looks so I'm looking at northwestern Minnesota and they're saying between 2 and 7 inches National Weather Service.
Yep, it's coming. Yeah. This one's coming more from the northwest and then moving southeast. Usually these storms that like if we're the northern edge of them, they're coming from the they're coming more from the southwest and bringing up a lot of Gulf moisture. But this one's sort of it's got a narrow band of heavy snow. And we're looking at if you're south of Grand Rapids, between Grand Rapids and the Twin Cities, more say around Mora or what else? Maybe McGregor is in there too, mm-hmm. Brainerd. And Bemidji will probably get a little bit more than Grand Rapids will. But south of Bemidji will be in the heaviest snow track. And those areas will be 6 to 8 inches. And maybe some areas will get a little bit more.
Wow.
Here in Grand Rapids, I don't know, 2 to 4, 0 to 2.
Yeah.
The driest model is the global model from the U.S. And that shows just like a half inch. And then the wettest one still shows like 5 inches, I guess.
Okay.
So,
what about the water content? Will it be heavy or light, or do you know?
Kind of light.
Okay.
Here, yeah. So I say 15 to 1 or something like might be what you could expect.
Okay.
Or maybe 12 to 1 if you know if there's wind. Usually that tends to pack things down, and we don't have that much wind right now, but it'll pick up a bit from the east this afternoon.
Yeah.
So we'll get a little bit of wind. So, you know, given that, I would say, yeah, maybe 2 inches for us. You know, it just might be a 3-inch snowfall in the sort of consensus forecast, but that wind will pack it down to 2.
Yeah.
So,
well, the wind was certainly right yesterday. It was slightly east of south as far as the ice boat ran, and it was when you got out enough to be sort of in where the fetch was decent. Why the speeds were okay. I think probably 20 to 25. Nothing. I mean, ice boat speed, which is, you know, magnifying, you know, it's above wind speed because you're cutting through the wind at an angle.
Yeah.
And it does go faster than the wind blows.
Okay.
It wasn't like, puckeringly fast or gusty, but there were moments when the boat picked up speed pretty quickly and it was,
yeah. So if you're in the Grand Rapids area, there will be a pretty significant gradient of snowfall amounts. As you go farther just south of town, there'll be more. If you go north of town, there'll be less.
Okay.
So it'll be on the northern gradient of snowfall here. So expect amounts to vary. So if I just say 2 inches, that won't be probably won't be correct for your location. It's going to be either more or less than that.
Now, you said the system was coming out of the northwest.
Yep.
And so this is cold air coming down from Canada, running into warmer air from, I mean, yesterday was not warm. Yesterday was cold on the lake. I mean, it was warmer than the day before. Yeah. Oh, yes. But it was warmer this morning than it was all day yesterday.
True. Yeah. So
what exactly is the collision? Where's the moisture?
Well, so these are low pressure systems that are moving across across the region, and in advance, usually you get southerly winds or southeasterly winds.
That was yesterday.
Get warmer air moving ahead of them. And the same thing is happening today because we've got another low pressure system coming in, low pressure center coming out of northeastern North Dakota across Minnesota and then into Wisconsin.
Okay. So the wind yesterday was a different low pressure system. This isn't associated with the same low.
Nope.
Oh my.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A series of lows moving across the region in quick succession.
So how close, now that I'm thinking about it, how close can low pressure systems get to one another without merging and becoming one super low system?
Well, obviously, or does that happen? Close because it's happening.
Yeah. I mean, is it a couple hundred miles between them? Is it what?
Sometimes the atmosphere is free to do whatever it wants. It's sort of like.
I get that. I've talked to enough meteorologists to understand.
Think of a Bob Ross painting. I think of this incredible Bob Ross quote the other day. It's like, I used to have the hardest time with clouds, and it's like, their freedom. They have no boundaries. And. just let them be and make them, they're happy clouds.
Yeah.
So we had happy low pressure systems, even though people think of them as kind of angry sometimes.
Yeah.
You can have one low that has a little small couple of lows in within it. And you can have mesoscale lows. You can have, there's a low pressure inside of every tornado.
True.
There's a low pressure inside of every hurricane. All these phenomena have different scales, different sizes to them. Mm-hmm. So you can have tornadoes next to each other that are like only a half mile apart. Well, that's pretty close.
Those are low pressure systems in close proximity.
Yes, very low, very concentrated low pressure areas of low pressure.
But in the case of sort of what's happening right now, average sort of a low pressure this system is, coming through.
Yeah, this is kind of we'll put that as a minimum of their distance, and temporarily anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter, the jet stream is faster. The upper level winds that guide these systems along move faster. So you could have them still be 500 miles apart, but
24 hours.
Yeah, 24 apart. Hours apart. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of like we're seeing now. The upper level winds are pretty strong, and they're just pushing things along pretty fast.
It isn't so much the distance, it's the time.
Yes.
In between. I mean, the distance can be given certain situations, you can have one system that moves pretty slowly and another system following behind it, say a day later, and they're closer together than two systems moving quite quickly. So, but there is no, I mean,
there's not a real,
what happens if two low pressure systems sort of, can they collide? Can they combine? Is that a thing?
You can have development, you get a part of a storm system that moves in, and you get a concentration of the development of the system develops into a stronger, more intense single low pressure area.
Okay.
Or sometimes you just get like a series of weak disturbances that move along and really don't develop and become very strong.
Okay.
Yeah. It can be anything. Anything. The world is your canvas. Anything is possible.
I've seen the fractal equations that go with chaos, that go with smoke or water mixing, and you get these little swirls that are akin to a low pressure system, and they can be quite close together or they can be quite far apart. And I suspect that the atmosphere behaves somewhat similarly, though it's not as viscous as water.
Sure. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. So we've got this low. We've got yesterday's low. We've got, when's the next one coming? Going to be coming through. Just waves. Just have a fast kind of west northwest to east southeast jet stream, and a lot of disturbances moving along that jet stream. Today is the strongest we'll see this week, but we'll see a couple others. We'll still get light dustings of snow later on in the week too. And this weekend looks pretty cold. Might be our coldest of the year so far. And then after that, maybe in about a week or so, there could be a transition to a warmer pattern.
Oh.
So keep your fingers crossed for that if you want to have, if you're tired of sub-zero weather, which we haven't had that much of it. We've had just, what, singles?
Yeah.
Single digits below zero?
I've been down to almost 10, I think. Yeah.
It's not that bad for Minnesota standards, but
no,
people forget. And just like think, wow, was minus 9 is so dangerously cold. Yeah, we haven't had a cold, you know, 2019, we were into the minus 40s that year. So,
yeah. Well, on my birthday in 2017, -20, no, 2007, -28.
Okay.
On today's date in 2007.
Oh, yeah, I remember that winter we had some pretty cold December temperatures.
Started off pretty cold. But, you know, I was looking last night, I was checking out Park Rapids and trying to do some ancient history on what the weather was like when the day I was born. I was born in Park Rapids on today's date, 77 cool years ago, and it was 18 above and a 5 below, and had a half inch of snow that fell that day. 2 days later, on the 11th, we got 5 inches of snow in Park Rapids. But looking at the...
Do you remember that?
No. I'm sure that when I left the hospital, I was probably wrapped in about 8 layers of blankets and probably didn't even see the sky. And God knows what kind of a car I got into, but I bet it wasn't warm. It might have had those little plastic inserts that you used to put on the windows so that you could see out. You have a vacant look on your face. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
A plastic insert so you can see out.
Yeah, there was they had a little rubber gasket that went around them, and they were about 12 by maybe 8 or 10, and you would stick them on the window, and it made a frost-free place because the defrost in the car wouldn't keep up with the humidity from the people inside, and the thing would be cloudy. It would be impossible to see, and so you had these little... Stick on. I don't know. I can't think of what they were, except that they added an eighth of an inch of airspace between the glass and the interior of the car. And they were,
wow.
You could then see out.
Okay, this went on the inside.
On the inside. Yep. As I recall. These are memories from my youth. And some of those are not reliable anymore.
Maybe because there were so many Latimers in the car breathing.
I don't remember that we ever had one on a car that we had, but they were common. You saw them on cars. Huh. People had them. I'm sure there are listeners out there who are nodding their heads. I remember those.
Yeah.
Well, help me out here.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. You get the frost on the inside, but every once in a while, depending on... They figured it out probably with the
You need to go cross country skiing and get really hot and steamy and then jump in your car when it's ice cold.
Yeah.
And see how quickly the windows become frosty. You just need to bring a little humidity into that atmosphere and it'll settle out on the glass for sure.
So we'll make it through this winter storm, winter weather advisory, and cold temperatures this weekend, Bob?
Yep.
Okay.
So the latest I'm looking at shows, wow. So like northeastern Itasca County getting nothing. So it's it's in between, you know. And it shows 3.2 inches in Grand Rapids.
Craig just texted in. He said those things you were talking about, John.
Yeah.
They were made of asbestos and discarded uranium. completely safe.
What could possibly go wrong? I am certain that he's right about that. Oh my, yeah. Yeah.
And Bob, so skiing going on out at Mount Itasca?
Yeah, there is. It opened up over the weekend to downhill skiing, snowboarding, snow tubing, cross-country skiing's been open. There's probably, all the trails are basically kind of at least rolled out there. So,
all right.
Get out and ski.
Sounds great. Well, as always, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Bob, thank you. And thanks for clearing up that mystery for me about the the proximity of Lowe's that they can associate with one another without combining and becoming super Lowe's.
Yeah. There's all, anything is possible.
Anything is
Think
possible.
Think of Bob Ross. I like it.
Yeah.
Coming up, we've got local news with the Up North Report, and then we'll talk birds with Pam Perry.
We receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward. And support for KAXE comes from Lady Sippers, N.A. Bottle Shop, located in downtown Deer River, Itasca County's only N.A. Bottle Shop, offering ready-to-drink options, ingredients for craft cocktails, gifts, and more. Information available at ladysippers.com.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. If you're in northern Minnesota, look out your window. If it's not snowing right now, it probably was recently, and it's probably going to start again soon. The National Weather Service says two snow systems between Monday and Wednesday are delivering a 1-2 punch. The first system brings a few inches, with locally higher amounts in the Arrowhead. The second clipper, Tuesday afternoon through Wednesday morning, is a bit more intense. Most of the Northland will get a couple inches, but a narrow band will pass over somewhere from the Iron Range to south of Highway 2 and drop upwards of 8 inches. Here's Ketzel Levins, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Duluth.
But then not too long of a distance away from that, say maybe 20, 50 miles, somebody might only get like 2 inches because of the nature of this system.
The exact impacts will become clearer as the storm draws nearer. A prominent Northland DFLer's decision to remain chair of Congressional District 8 despite being charged with criminal vehicular homicide has roiled the party. The Minnesota Reformer reports Cynthia Cindy Martin's case has split Democrats. Some believe due process should play out. Others think a personal scandal will derail the goals of the party as it struggles in northern Minnesota. Martin pleaded not guilty last month. She hit and killed 19-year-old Carter Hathcock near Nashwalk in 2024 before driving away. Whether she reasonably investigated the crash as required by state law is still playing out in court. Martin is one of the most influential DFLers in the region. Martin and her attorney declined the reformer's request for comment. So did multiple elected DFLers in the Northland. Local parties aren't controlled by the state DFL party, but state officials could call on or press Martin to resign. DFL Chair Richard Carlbaum told the reformer, quote, "This is a tragic loss of life," but he wouldn't, quote, "prejudge the judicial process." Lee Cutler was the 8th District Vice Chair until March. He told the reformer that he and Martin drafted an email to 8th District delegates shortly after Martin was charged, saying she was stepping down. But a few hours later, another email was sent out reversing that message. That email was also signed by Cutler, but he says he didn't write it. Martin will make her next court appearance in February. For some Deer River students, getting health care means a full day out of school.
Most of it is transportation and getting up to Cass Lake for an appointment if they have one, and that can be an all-day affair.
That's district employee Susan Nelson. She says almost half of Deer River students are Native. Many are covered by the Indian Health Service. There's an Essentia Health clinic and hospital just a mile from the school, which can make appointments really easy for some families. But even then, parents still have to take time away from work, creating another barrier to health care. A new program is trying to fix those problems with just an iPad and a quiet room. Deer River launched its telehealth program with help from Essentia in October. Nelson is the project manager.
Once they are logged in, they have their visit. I'll actually step out and I'll flip the sign over that tells everybody else to stop because there's a meeting.
In the first month and a half, there's been 15 visits between about five students, mostly for speech and behavioral therapy.
It's still 60 hours worth of time that wasn't taken from our staff or parents.
Initially, appointments were only available with Essentia, but last week, Nelson finalized a partnership with North Homes Children and Family Services, and she's working on setting up the system for other providers, including the Indian Health Service. The telehealth program is only the first step. The project Nelson is managing is called a school-based health center.
When a kiddo gets sick or injured here at school, with school-based health center, we'll be able to see them in person while they're here and then do an assessment to see what else they need or coordinate a follow-up for them to have an appointment at the clinic or even if it's a telehealth.
The district will soft launch its health center in the beginning of the next school year and fully open to the community by the end of 2026. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
My grandpa gave me a wheat penny and I kept it in my pocket. I had big plans in my backyard to build me a space rocket. I talked to my brother on a fake CB that I made from a Tic Tac box. I packed my snowballs in nice and tight, and in the middle I put rocks. Don't trade in your Tic Tac box for a ball on the end of a chain. And don't go spending grandpa's pennies buying into the game. You gotta keep your heart young. Don't go growing old before your time has come. You can't take back what you have done. You gotta keep your heart young. Dad took the wheels off of my bike and he pushed me down the hill. But speed got the best of me and I took my first pill. That was back when alcohol was only used on cuts. It stung like hell, so I jerked my leg and mama said it would give me guts. Don't trade in your Tic Tac box for a ball on the end of a chain. And don't go spending grandpa's pennies buying into the game. You gotta keep your heart young. Don't go growing old before your time has come. You can't take back what you have done. You gotta keep your heart young. So take a picture of the one you love and put it in a locket. Go dig up your time capsule and the blueprints for your rocket. Keep in touch on a fake CB, that same old Tic Tac box. Pack your snowballs a little less tight, but in the middle, still put rocks. And keep your heart young. Don't go growing old before your time has come. You can't take back what you have done. You gotta keep your heart. Keep your heart young. Sometimes you don't die quick, just like you wish you'd done. And though love is a loaded gun, you gotta keep your heart young. You can't take back.
That is Brandi Carlile. Keep your heart young.
Yeah.
You still put rocks in the middle of your snowballs.
I guess. You know, I quit doing that after my brother passed away, I decided that I didn't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I never did that to my children. It shows that I have a heart.
There you go.
But with my brother, yeah, we both did it. Packed a rock right in the middle of every snowball we threw. It was hard to find rocks enough.
We heard from Emily from Des Moines. She says, happy birthday, John. Thank you for reminding us all to pay attention to what is happening outside. And Julie from Cook, hello and happy birthday to John. When you talk about Christmas bird counts in the area, please mention the Cook area count on Saturday, December 27th. I'm the compiler and can be contacted. By the way, there are pine grosbeaks coming to our feeder daily and occasionally an evening grosbeak or two. I've not been seeing other winter finches. I do hope some of the others show up this year. Thanks to Julie Grand for that.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. Yeah, thanks so much for the kind words and for all of the information you've sent to us. We will absolutely be talking about bird counts coming right up. We're going to join Pam Perry in a minute and chat with her about bird counts around the area. And we will have a list, I'm sure, available for those of you who live outside the Grand Rapids or Brainerd areas, up in Cook perhaps, or maybe over in Ely, over, let's see, Steve Wilson runs his out of Isabella. Lots of counts and going on from now until just after the new year. So check it out. We'd be happy to have you as a member of any bird count in the area. Support for KAXE comes from the Friends of Rice Lake National Wildlife Refuge near McGregor, offering 18,000 acres of woods, water, wildlife for the public to experience, located 5 miles south of McGregor on Highway 65. Learn more about Friends of Rice Lake Wildlife National Wildlife Refuge events and activities on Facebook. And support for this program comes from Sanford Health, with primary care locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
It's time to talk birds with non-game wildlife biologist Pam Perry from the Brainerd Lakes area. We're getting ready for Christmas bird counts. We've got a lot to talk about today. Hey, Pam, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Heidi, and good morning, John. It's good to be here. And yes, it's December, and it's white outside. So we're thinking about Christmas bird counts. And for people who want to do something fun and social, you know, this is a great way to get out and do it.
Yeah.
And John, first I have to say, happy birthday.
Well, thanks, Pam. Is your birthday in December?
No.
Why not?
No. I have a spring birthday. I'm April.
Oh, lucky so. You. Yeah, that's a beautiful day. I was talking to Dallas Hudson last night, and he's like, let's just cancel winter and start with the 1st of April. Let's get back to phenology.
And I love April. April. It's one of
April
my favorite
months. April is an absolute banger month, you bet.
Yeah, thawing, the water's opening up. There's
yep.
But we're in December.
Are we? Dang.
One other thing before I talk about bird counts. I would like to go back to last month. I was talking about frozen frogs.
Yes.
I was talking about the ones that that can freeze and go under the leaf litter and do all that. And that some of them, the true frogs, wood frogs, not wood frogs, leopard frogs, green frogs, mink frogs, all are under the water.
Mm-hmm.
And John, you asked me about the boreal chorus frog.
Yes.
Yes. And the first thing out of my mouth, because it wasn't on my list of those that freeze, I said under the water. And you said, I didn't know that. And I immediately thought, I don't think that's right. So I'm admitting that I was wrong. It just popped out. I had to do some serious looking. And I do that whenever I'm, what really is this? It took me a while to find, because I'm thinking, who has found these frogs when they're in the winter? They're tiny.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You're lucky to find one in the spring when they're singing.
Right. And so I did find that, yes, they do make the chemicals and can freeze parts of their bodies, and it saves their and protects their organs. And I learned a new word. It's called brumate.
Whoa.
Do you know that word?
No, I do not. Would you spell it?
It was new for me, and I've been a biologist for decades, and I love words that describe things. B-R-U-M-A-T-E. And it means a state of dormancy characterized by reduced metabolic activity. So it's not hibernation. It's something different, and they've given it a name. And so I was really excited. So I'm looking about all about chorus frogs. I'm going, oh, I learned something new. This is all so great. And so they say now that these frogs brumate or go into, or they're brumating. And it applies also to the frogs under the water that are getting oxygen through their skin.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? But I did want to do a correction.
I'm curious, would you apply the same term to, for instance, garter snakes? They are, they're sort of like hovering. Sorry.
You know, they need to go underground,
yep.
I think, above freezing.
Yep. Yep, they do.
So, you know, they don't go into this extreme reduced metabolic state.
Okay.
Which is basically a state of suspended animation.
Right.
I'm not sure. I'm going to just say, I'm not sure. I tell my friends, they think I have answers for everything. I go, I'm not always right. No, it's sometimes I have to look stuff up.
Oh, me too. And trust me, I've got the word down on a slip of paper here. And I am going to be doing a little research myself this next week. I'll try to learn more.
So,
lovely word.
So interesting.
Yes.
And that they had because that word wasn't around when I was younger.
I have never run across it.
I know, because I'd never seen it.
And Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, we can talk about Christmas bird counts.
Good.
I hope that we have lots of listeners that want to get out there. I'm going to do the Little Falls count, which is on Sunday, the 14th. And then the Crosby count on the Saturday, the 20th. Those are two of the closest counts for me. And what I would encourage people to do is look up what the counts are and see what's close to you so you can explore that area. And I've done the Crosby counts many, many times and the Little Falls count quite a few times. And I enjoy the differences between the two of them because Little Falls is... it's more central Minnesota with more farmland, more open area, the river, all that. And then Crosby is more wooded. It's more continuous forest.
Yeah, our circle here in Grand Rapids is the western half is more open, more fields and farms, and the eastern half is more forest. So,
And you get different birds, of course, in different areas.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's going to be cold on Sunday, but we'll be in the car pretty much most of the time,
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
So, and then I think it's going to start. I was listening to Tornado Bob and he says, yeah, we might get into a warming trend. And yeah, it looks like it'll be warmer by next Saturday.
Yeah. Your Crosby count will probably be a very nice day. Looks like.
Yes, and that will be a little easier. The other thing I noticed, Tornado Bob said that you guys are going to get 2 inches, maybe
mm-hmm.
a little more. You know what they're predicting here? 6.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, get your snowshoes out, dear.
Yeah, I know. And we've already had one big dump.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have a list, but you can check out the Minnesota Ornithological Union's website. They have the Christmas bird counts and a map there. Mm-hmm. And like Julie, who had texted early from Cook, they have contact information so you can find out where to go. I know the one that happens in Pine River Jenkins area, you meet at the Apine restaurant and they tell you exactly right. Where you meet up with people. But a lot of them begin on this Sunday, right? You'll
yep.
be doing Grand
yep.
Rapids.
We're going to do Grand Rapids.
Two Harbors, Little Falls, and then Monday's Walker, and then there's just a whole bunch more. We see it up until January 3rd when it's in Bedette and Isabella.
Yep, yep. And so it's, yeah, the 14th is the first day. So there's a lot of counts that go, it's a Sunday, but we're going to start. Yeah. We're going to do it, you know, we're going to get going on that day. And what will people be looking for? Finches, of course. We're looking for winter birds, owls, rough-legged hawks, waxwings and shrikes, snow buntings, and pine grosbeaks. And pine grosbeaks are a finch, and everything I've been hearing, this is supposed to be a good pine grosbeak year. And I know that call you had from Cook said she had pine grosbeaks. I have seen them in Cross Lake, and I've had reports of them from Nisswa and Crosby.
Yep.
We haven't had them down this far south for a while. Oh. So I know we'll be looking for them on the counts. Even in Little Falls, I'll be looking for pine grosbeaks. And for people who aren't familiar with them, because they don't come down in big numbers every year. You know, they're more of a northern bird. They're a big finch. They're a little smaller than a robin, but think robin-ish size. The males are gray and kind of a rosy red on the head and the butt. And the females are gray and kind of yellowish, orangish on the head and the butt.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're going to be in small flocks. They're going to be, where I see them most, crab apple trees. They love fruit. That's what they eat a lot. They will sometimes come to feeders, but check those crab apple trees. And then when you're checking the crab apple trees for grosbeaks, pine grosbeaks, then you look for waxwings as well. Waxwings and robins. And I checked out over by the college, Central Lakes College, yesterday, the crabapple trees, and I found 20 robins.
Ooh.
And about 15 cedar waxwings. And I think they were all cedar waxwings, but I didn't get a real good look at all of them because they took off. Because we will have bohemians, and there have been bohemians reported from Crosby. So they're coming down, especially with the snow cover, snow today as well. And just encourage people while you're driving around town, just pay attention to those crabapple trees.
Yeah. People sometimes get too wrapped up in just, you know, the street in front of them. And it's a good idea to pay attention to the street in front of you. But at the same time, give a glance every time, you know, every time I see a little bit of red, especially, you know, and it looks like it's on a fruit tree, I turn my attention and give it a little, give it a little look. What can people expect if you're new to, well, both birding and bird counting, Christmas bird counts? What typically happens?
Well, typically you have a meeting point, like at a cafe, a restaurant of some type. And the leader, coordinator, will divide people into groups. And if you're a beginner, you're going to be with someone who knows how to do it and knows birds and knows the area. And then you'll head out and you'll start. Someone will be the tally person and keep track. And you just call out every time you see a bird and you cover the area. You get a slice of the pie. It's a circle. So you have a map and you have an area to cover and you count as all the birds that you can find and you keep track of the with the different species, like how many chickadees do you see, how many pileated woodpeckers, that sort of thing. And it just, it can get kind of slow towards midday. Oh, you found this many birds, but then you never know when something really good is going to pop up.
That's the amazing thing, yeah.
You might find an owl roosting because they'll come out in the afternoon. So that's kind of what you can expect and what you do. And then you turn in your results. Each group will turn in their results to the coordinator.
Now, the count is typically one day, but there is a 7 day. Is it 7 days or is it 3 days either side? A week
I think I've never been a coordinator. I've done a lot of counts. I've never been the coordinator. I think it's 3 days on each side, but I could be wrong with that. And people can, if a bird that didn't show up on the count list shows up, they get a report, you know, and they can verify it. They can add that. They also, some people are feeder watchers, and they will directly give their account of what their feeders are doing. If they're in the count circle, then they let the people know who is counting that area, saying, "Oh, we're going to take care of our feeders. You don't have to stop." And they will submit that to the coordinator as well.
And if you're if you encounter a rare bird, a bird that would be not frequently seen, I've always been instructed to try and get a picture.
Absolutely.
If possible, get a photograph of it.
Absolutely. And with, you know, phones.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get a picture on there. Some people in your group might have a camera that are good photographers, not like me. and they can get a photo. Or you want as many people to see it as possible.
Yeah. Yep. So if you encounter something really unusual, back it up, because
it happens all
absolutely
the time.
Yeah
we just heard from Susan from Cotton. She said there's a small flock of pine grosbeaks at the Sac Zimbog Welcome Center and saw one male at our feeder in Cotton yesterday, so good to hear.
Yeah,
they're showing up. Yeah, this is a pine grosbeak year. And I know when I went to visit a friend in Cross Lake and I saw some movement, there's a big crabapple tree right by the door to her townhouse. And I thought, wow, what's in there? Well, it was pine grosbeaks and a robin. And I went in, I said, "You've got pine grosbeaks." And she goes, "What? What are those?"
What?
What?
I was wondering about
so
those.
So pay attention. We all can learn.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully you'll be teamed up with Pam, or I've got a crew going out with me. It's a great day and a great conversation. Good chance to, you know, drive around, get out and walk a little bit. I walk less and less, but there's a few areas that I like to get out and explore. Hopefully get a chance. I remember 1 year I had a brand new guy with me, Todd Heinle, and Todd and I went out and we're walking through a little spruce plantation. He said, "There's a bird over here I don't recognize." I walked over. It was a black-backed woodpecker. I was just floored. I was like, "Oh, my God."
Oh, now that's a good one.
Yeah. So yes. you just don't know. And that's the exciting part about it. It's like going opening.
And even beginners can spot things. They may know what it is.
That was.
But that's why you have someone else along that says, "Oh, that's that so-and-so." Yeah.
That was Todd to a T right there. He was like, "What bird is this? I haven't seen this before." And I was just ecstatic. I was just jumping up and down and pretty excited by it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was your bird of the day.
It definitely was. Well, and later on, we saw a shrike attack a chickadee. So it was an unusual